and gentlemen, Ed Bozeman, Lynchburg, Ohio, and the God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast. It is written, all the churches of Christ salute you. It is written, but an angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza. The same is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia. It is written, and the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet, and said, understandest thou what thou readest? It is written. And he besought Philip to come up and sit with him.
For God is just a prayer away.
Now, the passage of the scripture which he was reading was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before his shearer is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away. His generation who shall declare? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other? And Philip opened his mouth, and beginning from this scripture, preached unto him Jesus. Buried with Christ and raised with him too, what is there left for me to do? Simply to cease from struggling and strife. Simply to walk in the newness of life. Risen with Christ, my glorious head. Holiness now, the pathway I tread. Beautiful thought, while walking therein, he that is dead is freed from all sin. And now I'm living with Christ, who dieth no more. Following Christ, who goeth before. I'm not under law, I'm now under grace. Sin is dethroned and Christ takes its place.
For God is just a prayer away.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, listen to this message from Acts chapter 8, the preaching of Philip. Philip's sermon to the Ethiopian eunuch is an example of New Testament preaching. Although the sermon is not recorded, the text for the message is given. We have a right to assume that Philip, being a New Testament preacher, would stick closely to the text. But first, we need to notice the situation and just how Philip came to be the preacher on this occasion. An angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem to Gaza. The fact that an angel was sent to give him this directive should come as no surprise. In the book of Hebrews we read concerning angels, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to do service for the sake of them that shall inherit salvation? When this world has come to an end and we find ourselves on the other side of the Jordan, it may come as no surprise to have some angel tell us how many times they had been sent to help work out some divine directive in our lives while on earth. The angel did not tell Philip where he was going. He just told him to go. And Philip, like Abraham many centuries before, arose and went, not knowing where he was going. The only thing Philip knew was that God had a plan for him, and he had no choice but to obey, so he arose and went. Now, if Philip had been like some of us, he might have balked at the idea of this divine directive. He might have said, Lord, there must be some mistake. Why should I leave a great ministry here in Samaria? and go to a place that the angel calls a desert place. At Samaria the multitudes gave heed to Philip with one accord concerning the things that were preached. Things were going well for him. Many that had palsy and that were lame were healed. And from some he had cast out demons, and they came out crying with a loud voice. Philip had a message that made the devil holler. Most of us don't want to disturb the devil. By all means, don't make him holler. Not only that, but when they saw the power of God as it worked through the preaching of Philip, the divine record says there was much joy in the city. However, we are told that the Lord told him to go. And so he arose and went. At a certain point on his journey, he saw an Ethiopian riding in a chariot, reading aloud from the prophet Isaiah. We might wonder at this point why God would be so interested in this particular man, who was a traveling man. There may have been many reasons, but one thing that Jesus said helps us understand is something that Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. It seems from our experience when a person is trying to find God's will and hungers and thirsts for it, God will send somebody to them with the answers. At this point, Philip heard the Spirit say, "Go near and join thyself to this chariot." Philip ran to him and heard him reading and asked him if he understood what he was reading. The Ethiopian said he needed some help and invited Philip to come aboard and sit with him. Philip did. The scripture that the Ethiopian was reading was the following. Listen to it again. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before his shearer is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, his generation who shall declare? For his life is taken from the earth. At this point, Philip opened his mouth from this text and preached unto him Jesus. It says he opened his mouth. To say he opened his mouth seems like an unnecessary statement. Philip was not a ventriloquist, so how could he talk without opening his mouth? There are many Christians who go week after week and never open their mouth to anybody about the Lord. They may open their mouth as wide as they can, get it, and holler, "Touchdown," or "That ball is out of here." But their mouth is shut up tighter than a clam when it comes to opening their mouth and saying something about the Lord, His Word, or His church. So Philip opened his mouth, and from this scripture preached unto him Jesus. Now if he preached unto him Jesus, what did he say about Jesus? Ladies and gentlemen, if Philip stuck to his text, the following gives us an idea of the contents of Philip's sermon to the Ethiopian eunuch as he preached Jesus. First thing he said was, he was led as a sheep to the slaughter. This Ethiopian had been to Jerusalem to worship, so he knew something of Jewish special days. Philip, on the basis of telling the Ethiopian about Jesus being led as a sheep to the slaughter, must have mentioned the original Passover, while the Israelites were stationed in Egypt, enslaved there. Their delivery came to be known at that time as the Passover. A lamb for each house was slain, and the instruction was given to strike the blood of that lamb on two side posts and the upper doorpost of every home. Now the Lord told Moses that he would pass through the land at night and slay the firstborn of every family in the land of Egypt. For the Israelites, God said, the blood shall be for you a token on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. The word Passover means to skip over or to leap over. In Philip's sermon, he must have told the Ethiopian at that point how John the Baptist pointed out Jesus to his audience when he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus is our sacrifice for sins. He is the Lamb that was slain. And Paul would say to the Corinthians, "Christ, our Passover, hath been sacrificed." As Jesus and his apostles prepared to observe the last Passover supper, he told them, "With desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer." That would be the last official Passover feast. Then, as they were eating, he instituted the Lord's Supper, which reminds the Christian that Christ, truly our Passover, has been sacrificed. Paul tells us in 2 Thessalonians, "And to you who are afflicted, rest with us at the revelation of the Lord from heaven with the angels of his power in flaming fire, rendering vengeance to them that know not God, and to them that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall suffer punishment, even eternal destruction from the face of the Lord and from the glory of his might. On that day the Christian will have nothing to fear. The Lord will see the blood of the slain Lamb of God on the doorpost of the Church of Christ, and he will skip over you. He will leap over you. He will pass over you." Philip must have preached this message to the Ethiopian eunuch, because it says he preached unto him Jesus. Something else he preached was this: "As a lamb before his shearer is dumb, so opened he not his mouth." He told them how Jesus willingly gave his life for us. As a lamb before his shearer is dumb, he opened not his mouth. He made no effort to save himself. On one occasion, Jesus said, "No one taketh my life from me. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again." In the Garden of Gethsemane, the Lord told Peter to put up again his sword into its place. "They that take the sword shall perish by the sword. Or thinkest thou that I could not beseech my Father, and he would even now give me more than 12 legions of angels? How then should the scripture be fulfilled?" And thus it must be. Ladies and gentlemen, people argue and debate over the question, who was it that killed Jesus? Who was it that crucified the Son of God? That is a useless question. The bottom line as to who killed Jesus can be settled here, now, and forever. Who killed Jesus? I'll tell you who killed him. I crucified Jesus. Ed Bousman killed the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said so. He said Christ died for our sins. And I am in that bunch and share just as much blame as the chief priest of the Jews, Pilate, the Roman governor, or King Herod. Van Rembrandt, a famous Dutch painter, is regarded as one of the greatest. Sometimes in his paintings he would paint the face of a member of his family on someone in the painting. One time he painted a picture of the crucifixion of Jesus, and he painted his own face on the man that was driving the nails through the hands of Jesus. People who saw the painting looked at it and said, "Rembrandt crucified Jesus." I don't know what kind of a picture you can conjure up on the canvas of your imagination about the crucifixion of Jesus, but any picture that leaves you out of the picture is a false impression, because the weight of all our sins was on the hand that held the hammer that drove the nails through the hands of Jesus and riveted him to those timbers of torture that we call the cross. Christ died for our sins. As Paul would say later on, "Him who knew no sin was made to be sin, that we might become the righteousness of God through him." as a lamb before his shearer is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. This, without question, is part of Philip's sermon to the Ethiopian eunuch, because he preached unto him Jesus. Then, as Philip preached unto him Jesus, he must have said something about the humiliation of Jesus. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. Just look at the change in the culture of heaven as opposed to the culture on earth. Paul tells us that Jesus considered not the being on an equality with God a thing to be grasped. He emptied himself, taking upon himself the form of a servant. Being made in the likeness of men, found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself even unto death, yea, the death of the cross. When Jesus was in heaven, angels waited on him continually and hastened to do his bidding. They acclaimed him as the Lord of glory. They cried out in adoration, unto him that sitteth on the throne, and unto the Lamb be the blessing and the honor and the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Hear again the host of heaven as they offer up their joyous praise when he went home. Worthy is the Lamb that hath been slain to receive the power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. Think of it. Jesus left that environment to come to this world to receive the utmost humiliation. They spit in the face of the one whom angels praise. The one who in heaven is called the King of Kings and Lord of Lords was crowned with a crown of thorns. The one John the Apostle saw wearing a white robe was crucified naked here on earth. The hands that were placed on the eyes of the blind and gave sight. Hands that were laid on the leper and made clean. These hands were nailed to the cross. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. This is what Philip must have preached to the Ethiopian eunuch, because he preached unto him Jesus. The next point Philip made in his sermon to the Ethiopian was, his generation who shall declare. We can declare the generation of most people we know by telling how many children they have. Their generation is their seed. Now, what is the generation of the Lord Jesus Christ? He told the parable one time of the man who sowed good seed in his field. Then he identified the sower of the seed as the Son of Man. The generation of Jesus are the converts to the body of Christ. Who shall declare his generation? Philip no doubt told how the Lord started with the 12 apostles. Then he told about the day of Pentecost when 3,000 were added. Then their number came to be about 5,000. And then the number was multiplied. His generation, who shall declare? And from our standpoint, the number boggles the mind. We can read in Revelation where John saw a vision of a great multitude which no man can number, out of all tribes and peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, arrayed in white robes and palms in their hands, and they cry with a great voice, salvation unto our God, who sitteth on the throne, and unto the Lamb. His seed could not be numbered. His generation, who shall declare? Philip must have spoken all of this to the Ethiopian eunuch because he preached unto him Jesus. As Philip and the eunuch rode along in the chariot, they came to a certain water. And the eunuch asked Philip, what doth hinder me to be baptized? There was nothing in the text that said such a thing. But since the Ethiopian brought up the question, Philip must have mentioned it in his sermon. He must have preached unto him baptism because he preached unto him Jesus. So what did Philip say about the matter of baptizing? We need to remember what happened here was in the 8th chapter of Acts. So what Philip said must have been said by other inspired men before and up to this time. Where did the eunuch get the idea that baptizing was by immersion? Since Philip preached unto him Jesus, he must have told about the baptism of Jesus. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee unto the Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. And John would have hindered him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? Jesus said, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffereth him, and Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway from the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove out of heaven and coming upon him, and lo, a voice out of heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Philip must have said this because he preached unto the Ethiopian Jesus, and that was the way Jesus was baptized. He preached unto him Jesus. Since the Ethiopian asked such a question about baptism and wanted to do it, Philip must have told him how it was commanded. He must have told the Ethiopian eunuch about the Great Commission in Matthew, where Jesus said, All power hath been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And then for further emphasis, he must have told the Ethiopian a further reason for the command by reciting what Jesus said in the Gospel according to Mark. Jesus said in the 16th chapter, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Philip must have told the Ethiopian about this, because it says he preached unto him Jesus. Then Philip must have continued on in this teaching, as how he told how the church started on the day of Pentecost. He told how Peter preached the first gospel sermon about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, and when the assembly realized they had killed the Lord, who came to save them, they asked what they must do. Peter told them to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Then Philip must have told the Ethiopian of his own experience at Samaria, how the Samaritans, when they believed him preaching good tidings concerning the name of God and the name of Jesus Christ, were baptized both men and women. The importance of the ordinance of baptism must have been pointed out by Philip to the Ethiopian eunuch. Finally, as he mentioned how Jesus said to Nicodemus, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. I know that Philip must have mentioned all these things and more to the Ethiopian eunuch, because he preached unto him Jesus. And now this, in conclusion. How about that question of the Ethiopian eunuch? He said, Behold, here is water. What doth hinder me from being baptized? Philip said, If thou believest, thou mayest. And he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip. And the eunuch saw him no more, for he went on his way rejoicing. And he opened his mouth and preached unto him Jesus. So it is written, so let it be done. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to another God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast brought to you each week at the same time by Churches of Christ and Christian churches who are concerned about your soul salvation. The address, Ed Bousman, Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Only as you reach back to us with your letters of support can we reach out to you with the gospel as it was preached in the days of the apostles. The address again, Ed Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Check out our website, edbousman.org. Praise the Lord, pass the ammunition, tell somebody, somehow and in some way, that God is just a prayer away.